Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey guys, Matt Donald here. I don't know why I say that at the beginning of each one of these. You guys know who I am. I'm Matt Donald, man. Anyways, I got a Patreon. You know all this stuff. Everyone has a Patreon. Everyone has a Patreon. This is a capitalist society we all live in. At patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for the Ritwit and Paleobites. Guess what? There's actually other bonus content for the Ritwit now. I'm not a slacker anymore. Yay! For Paleobites, we talk about pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about Zoo Tycoon. The original game had no dinosaurs or prehistoric animals, but the expansion pack Dinosaur Digs did. And we talk about that, as well as the other expansion pack, Marine Mania, and the franchise as a whole. It's great. A lot of nostalgic memories of that game. Link is in the description for where you can get to the Patreon. Thank you for your support. Have a wonderful day. Wonderful day. I don't know why I said that so creepy-like there. Also, here in America, it's election day today, so if you haven't voted already, vote! Your vote is important, and I'm saying this even though this is probably a podcast you try to use to escape politics with, but voting is important. They wouldn't be trying to suppress your vote so much if it wasn't important. So go vote. It's only our democracy at stake.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast more awkward than the teeth of Masiakasaurus. And if you get that joke, congratulations, you're one of us! My name's Matthew Dahl, and each week I'm a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by, a famed adventurer, a famed chef.
Not quite.
A famed,
I'm just a general jack of all trades.
Yeah, the best... I made this joke last time, but the Mario. Nah, that's an insult. I'm sorry. Natasha Crack, how are you?
Oh, doing quite well.
How are you? It's a good day. It's a good day. Everything.
It is a good day. Yeah. Even though half our state is on fire.
Right,
again.
And then most of it, the California is on fire. And oh, yeah, again. There's a pandemic going on. Maybe it's not a good day.
Maybe, but we're trying.
My sister, actually, she works at the treatment facilities, and she's one of the scientists on one of the teams working on the vaccine.
Oh, wow.
Beforehand, she told me that there could be a vaccine by January. Now she thinks it could be here by November.
I keep hearing all kinds of dates. I've heard 2021.
Yeah. Well, the reason why it's sooner now is because... they found out that it's similar to a lot of other coronaviruses.
Well,
and so it reacts to proteins in a similar way. They had theories about it that turned out to be right. So there are some pre-existing vaccines they can just modify a little.
So they're going off a working hypothesis.
Yeah, exactly. So that'd be cool. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. Who knows? If it comes out in November, this episode comes out in November, so it could be out already.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, maybe everything's back to normal. No, even if the vaccine's out in November.
It's going to be a few years before everything's fully back to normal. Yeah. But we're going to try.
Yes, indeed. And one way we can get back to normal is cooking. I don't know. I was going to talk to you about this, but that was my lame attempt at a segue. All right, so I've been watching a lot of Chopped, and here's my dinosaur-related question for you. You have these ingredients. You have Protoceratops eggs. They're about this big. They're about, like, the size of a...
Oh, so about the size of an ostrich egg.
Ostrich egg. You have cycad leaves, and you have oregano. I don't know. I'm just throwing out a random thing. Chopped always throws out these. What do you make?
Well, with that egg alone, you're feeding a dozen people. So you can make some pretty good scrambled eggs. You can make some pretty hearty omelets. I'm not entirely sure what cycad leaves are offhand.
Let's just say they're just like these big kind of fern leaves.
Okay. It all depends on the flavor profile they offer.
Yeah, I know. We don't know the flavor, so just assume they're like giant lettuce.
So how about we treat them like spinach? Because then you can treat them with so many different things. The oregano, you pull in a balsamic, maybe a bit of raspberry, or some other prehistoric equivalent.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
I've been watching also a bit of Hell's Kitchen lately.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Now, mind you, occasionally I like that drama, and hearing Ramsay go off on people...
What are you? An idiot sandwich. I've seen that gif a lot.
I haven't seen that episode yet, but I've seen him rip people new ones over the slightest thing.
Yeah.
Entertainment at its finest.
Yes, yes, indeed. That show really sounds like it would make me just antsy. I like Chopped. Chopped also makes me kind of antsy, but I'm like, no, I don't want him to go.
Chopped used to be a thing where my dad and I would watch it. Because of our schedules, we just haven't. But him and I would sit sometimes at night and watch it, and we would discuss different ideas for the bat crazy ingredients. And yes, they were bat Chopped, we love you, but you're bat
Yes, yeah. Yeah, like, I watched this one. It was like, there was a dessert, and some of the ingredients were chicken skin.
Okay.
And sweet potato ice cream, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Sweet potato lends itself really well to a lot of things, both sweet and savory.
And then, like, I think was, like, some sort of fruit. I forgot which one it was, but...
Okay, they've been known to pull some crazy fruits out.
Yeah, it's just like... Yeah, no, it makes me kind of interested in cooking. Like, I know you've tried to teach me how to cook before, and I think I realized, because I like the science of cooking, so I think one of the ways that I could really get into cooking is not by learning recipes and... and you know, trying to be like, okay, I can fix this every time. I want to learn how ingredients, and then once I know how it works and what each one brings to a table, I could work with that to make my own stuff.
Food science is a legitimate field.
Yeah, exactly.
It does fall within the culinary arts, but it's a legitimate field. And
well,
it's
like
study.
Chemistry. You know, these things work with this, and these things react with this, and this thing. Yeah,
it very, very much is chemistry. Different scents play differently off your palate in different ways. You got to know your balance between acidity and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And so especially watching Chopped, I learned, like, I don't need to, like, go out and buy a lot of fancy ingredients. You can use whatever you have. Like,
you
I have a lot of Rice Krispies at home. I could use that as, like, a breading.
Why not?
For some chicken, you know?
Send it through the food processor or a blender.
Yeah, exactly.
Blitz it up real good. You might have to balance out the sweet with a little salt.
Yeah,
but there's
exactly.
A lot of ways to do that.
Right. Anyways, what were we talking about this? Oh, yeah. We're talking about nothing that has anything to do with any of this.
Well, I suppose our bunny trails kind of work in this case because what was Mother Nature thinking with this animal?
Yes, hallucigenia. Technically, it's just named after hallucinogen, but I have the name meaning here as the dreamlike one, which is
kind of what it means about hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
Ooh, there could be some crazy side effects from what I've read. I've never tried them, but I've
I'd be too afraid to try them. I don't want to look up and then see the ceiling with eyes talking to me. I don't want to taste my thoughts.
Well, Mother Nature must have had some effect like this when she created this one.
Right. I just don't want to touch something and be like, that feels like the color purple. I don't know how drugs work.
I don't either, but I've read enough and I've watched enough television.
Yeah.
I've seen Constantine go on some pretty crazy trips.
That's true. And we've all seen Doctor Strange. So.
Yeah, that's as close as I want to get. I made the mistake of seeing that in IMAX on opening night.
Is it IMAX 3D too?
Yeah. IMAX 3D. Say the least, my head was spinning for about an hour after I left the theater.
And the sequel that's coming out is, did you see it's going to be directed by Sam Raimi?
Ooh, that could get interesting. So it could get even more trippy.
Could get trippy. I mean, he did the old Spider-Man movies, but he also has done a lot of horror in the past, too.
Oh,
so.
That could take some interesting directions. But yeah. Nonetheless, the real question about Doctor Strange is, what did they give those CG artists to create those trippy effects?
Okay, here's what they did. They gave them some pipes, and they stuffed some hallucinogenia in them, and they smoked the weird mucousy kind of slimy remains of this Cambrian creature. And what is this Cambrian creature, you might ask? It's a... We're not sure, but we think it's like a xenocid, which is a subset of worms in the lineage of Onychophora, also known as the velvet worms.
Okay, and the velvet worms are still alive today.
Yes.
Just
I figured you know
like
some.
That.
I figured you know the velvet worms.
Well, at one point I did want to be a marine biologist.
for
back
a second,
in childhood.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, at one point I did want to be a velvet worm.
No, thank you. No brain cells.
Yes, indeed. Size 0.2 to 2.2 inches long, or 0.5 to 5.5 centimeters. Teeny tiny.
Teeny little thing.
Yeah.
That somehow got preserved in the fossil record.
Diet, it's hard to tell, but we're thinking, if it's like a velvet worm, it's probably a carnivore.
Probably, and probably fed on plankton, mostly.
Yes. Time, mid-Cambrian, 521 to 510 million years ago.
Okay.
So pretty early.
Pretty early on. Mother Nature was still experimenting.
Yeah, I actually think, Anomalocaris, which we've done before, I think that actually is a little bit earlier, so this is not the oldest creature on the show. Yeah.
No, certainly not, and it certainly won't ever be the oldest.
I want to do an episode on Luca, the last universal common ancestor.
Now that would be interesting.
It's not an animal, it's like the last common ancestor of literally all life on Earth, so including animals, plants, bacteria, fungi, and it's more of a theoretical animal. We don't have any fossils for it.
No, and we probably won't ever find them.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, it probably takes place around this time, like 3 or 4 billion years ago.
Well, in that case, I suggest you find an evolutionary biologist to get on this show.
Well, actually, I was going to get my sister who is doing the treatment for the vaccine. Because she's a biologist.
Nice.
Yeah, and she works with chemistry, so she'd know about it, and she likes that kind of stuff, so I was thinking about getting her on.
That could get interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so, where was I? Location, articulated fossils have been found in Canada and China, while isolated spines have been found all over the world.
So this was a worldwide creature.
Yeah. Described in 1977. I guess that makes sense. It kind of looks like a Star Wars creature.
Well, and people were doing weird shit during the 70s, let's be perfectly honest.
Indeed.
I've talked to some people who lived through the 70s.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay.
Heads up. I'll keep some of a lot of these in, but I do try to limit the use of the word shit, so...
I apologize. I've got a bit of a mouth on me.
That's okay. No. I'll keep those in, because I've left a few in, but because I know that kids are probably going to listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I allow a lot of curse words, like ass is fine for some reason. In fact, actually, in one episode, maybe I'll leave it in. Maybe I'll leave all this in so you can hear about it. But one episode, we were talking about British swear words, and we both talked about how, even though this is really inappropriate, we really like the word wanker.
Oh, no. I like that one, too. It's clever.
I'm going to take your head off, you bloody wanker.
Oh, yeah, no. There's some British curse
words. Oh, blimey.
That are very clever. I've only been caught on one or two of them, but one that I will use under my breath a lot is bollocks.
Bollocks! I love bollocks!
Thank you, John Constantine!
All right, pop culture appearances.
None.
Actually, there's one.
Oh!
A Canadian band named Lowest of the Low released an album called Hallucinogenia in 1994.
Interesting.
So that's neat. It's actually their only album.
Ah!
Oh, it's their only album they sold. They probably did a lot of other.
Yeah, we'd have to find some Canadians and ask them.
Yeah.
Hey, any Canadian audience, fill us in.
Yeah, the way I found this is, like, I went to Wikipedia and I searched Lusiginia, and it said, this article is about the fossilized animal. If you're looking for the album, see Hallucinogenia album.
Oh, interesting.
So I was like, oh, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it, too.
Here's a creature that scientists had no idea what to do with when it was first discovered, as reflected by its genus name. When first reconstructed, paleontologists accidentally had it upside down and back to front, which, to be fair, this thing is oddly symmetrical in multiple directions. So,
yeah,
it's hard to tell.
Yeah, we'll cut him some slack there.
Yeah. What is this thing? What is this?
Yeah. Well, if even the scientists aren't sure, we should probably be worried.
Some believe it to be an early ancestor of velvet worms, while some others believe it to be just distantly related, and still others actually believe it to be more closely related to arthropods.
Interesting. Unfortunately, the squishy stuff doesn't preserve very well.
Yeah, so we don't know if it's an exoskeleton or a soft shell or I don't know. There's a wide range of lineages this creature could have belonged to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to think it was...
I mean, it would make a lot of logical sense for it to come from a family of worms of some kind.
Are sea urchins animals?
They are.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, maybe this is like an early
sea urchin.
They're a crustacean.
I didn't know that. Yes, sea urchins are a crustacean. They're a shellfish.
Whoa! Thought they were like kind of related to coral.
No, coral's its own special family.
Coral and jellyfish are closely related, I think.
Yes,
okay. Well, this is kind of an arthropod. Maybe it's like a relative of sea urchins. I don't know. It's got the spines for it. Just need to develop a bit more.
Could be.
Do sea urchins move then?
They do. They do actually have little feet on their underbodies. Ugh. They're little tube feet like starfish.
Oh, cool.
So cool and creepy.
That is creepy. I don't like those things. Like, I've gone scuba diving before and just looking around, just like, there's a sea urchin. I just don't want to poke it, you know?
Well, some sea urchins are venomous.
Yes, no, I've heard, so... And they look like... And they just kind of sneak up on you, because they're like, oh, there's a big one.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's like landmines, or sea mines.
They are biological landmines.
Yeah.
To steal a term from Brave Wilderness.
Oh, cool. So this Hallucinogenia, the head, wherever it may be, is elongated with two simple eyes and a mouth with radial teeth, like a mini Sarlacc pit. Pharyngeal teeth. Look at this word. Do you see it down there?
Let me see. Being so professional, checking it here on air.
Yes, of course. It's a very casual show. Do you see it there? It's like in the middle of the screen. I think you scrolled down a bit.
Oh, yes, I see it. I think that's as close a pronunciation as you're gonna get.
Pharyngeal teeth within the front of the gut. That's way more teeth and way more spikes than one might expect from such a simple worm-like organism. Maybe this thing was pure evil.
Could be.
Maybe it was black, and those simple eyes glowed bright red. It would fit with all the spines and teeth and other pointy things.
Or it was incredibly brightly colored, and there's a possibility it could have had an early venom, too.
Yeah, exactly, and the brightly colored is warm predators to stay away.
Uh-huh.
New fossils found near 2002 suggest that Hallucinogenia might have had sexual dimorphism.
Interesting.
With one form having a robust neck and globular head, while other having a thinner, smaller head. But then again, my theory is that the former specimen was just more well-off.
Or they could even have two different species.
Yeah, exactly.
But we can't dismiss dimorphism.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows, really? Some people even suggest that the hollow tube present within each of those tentacles, like each of the spines, represented an additional mouth.
Mother Nature, what were you smoking?
Yeah, well, caterpillars are like that, too, I've heard. They have little mouths at the side.
I'm not going to dismiss it by any means. I'm basing this off of a
meme that talks about how humans are good for wearing masks compared to other animals, and it showed a bunch of other animals with masks, and how it'd be difficult. And it had, the elephant, the dog, the whale has two masks, one for the front and one for the blowhole.
Dear Internet, why?
And then it had a caterpillar, and it had a mask lining each section of its body. And it said, yes, caterpillars breathe through their sides, look it up.
I will have to look that up. Yeah. I'm not surprised. The insect world in and of itself is insane.
Yes, I hate insects. I hate them so much.
And then you're talking to the doofus who volunteered.
Yeah, you were at a butterfly pavilion. You love insects.
Yes, the butterfly pavilion. That's actually what got me over my fear of spiders.
Yes, yeah, you and I are alike in some ways, but this is not one of those ways.
Oh, I have my lines with insects. I don't like centipedes.
Anyways, another theory about hallucigenia that's real freaky is that it wasn't actually its own creature, but merely a part of a bigger creature we still haven't discovered.
Well, that's possible. I mean, the Portuguese man of war jellyfish isn't a jellyfish.
Yeah, it's like it's a cyanophore or whatever.
So
something like that. It's like it's like made a colony of little polyps that form one organism. Yeah, kind of.
Yes. So why not?
Well, this has happened before. As Anomalocaris, which we've talked about before and done an episode on before, was initially identified as three separate creatures before it was realized it was one enormous creature, or at least enormous for the time.
Ah.
So, maybe hallucigenia is just the end of one tentacle of some monstrous Cambrian behemoth, like a whole 2 or 3 feet long.
I mean, again, why not? Without further evidence, it's an idea.
Yeah.
And we can't dismiss it.
Yeah, just some crazy, monstrous kraken that terrorizes ocean domain. God, I hate this thing. It's way too freaky. But yeah, no, hallucigenia, it's up there with Helicoprion and other creatures I can't think of right now, where it's just like, nature, what were you thinking? What drugs were you on?
Yes, what drugs were you on with half these creatures that you came up with, especially the ocean-going ones?
Yeah, it's true. Now, what's the weirdest land creature?
Honestly, it's probably one of the elephant ancestors.
The one with the scoop trunk? I forget what that one's called, but yes.
Its name is escaping me, but I can mentally picture it.
Yeah, the one with its trunk and tusks are kind of merged together in like a scoop thing that looks like a big duck bill.
Yeah, I've heard the nickname Shovel Tusker aside.
Yeah.
That one was pretty strange.
It was. All right, so we're at everyone's favorite part of the show. Maybe, I don't know, we're rate the animal 1 out of 65 million. For sheer WTF factor, I think that gets an extra 30 points million easily, but I don't know, I don't like it. It's too freaky. 31 million for me. What about you?
Just for the sheer WTF factor, I have to give it a 35 million.
Oh, wow.
It's hilarious. It's one of those oddball unknowns that you just gotta find out more about.
Well, I think this was like right at the Cambrian explosion, so life just exploded in all these myriad of forms. So this was still life's experimental phase, where it's like, what works and what doesn't, you know?
You could argue that life is still doing that, although it's got some things down pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess with the Cambrian explosion, there was no template back yet, so...
This is also very
so
true.
So they're like... Let's do something like this.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. I need to listen to that. I should have, for homework, listened to that album by the Canadian band. All right. Well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@methadonecreator.com. You can follow me on social media at methadonecreator on Facebook, at methadone64 on Twitter, and methadone64 on Instagram. I have a book series. I'm doing this out of order, but who cares? It's hallucigenia. I don't know. But I have a book series on Amazon called Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. You did the illustrations. Great stuff. Great stuff all around. Both the book and the illustrations have gotten rave reviews. And I also have another podcast called The Ritwits, where two twits talk about writing. It's writing. It's fun sort of thing. It's a good podcast. We've passed 100 episodes at this point, so that's crazy. 100 episodes, man. For this episode, for Paleobites, the 100th episode is going to be T-Rex, of course. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Fitting.
And I'm going to try to get as many co-hosts as I can. Like, not just limited to one. Like, normal, I want to have, like, a whole group discussion.
Sounds like fun.
So I hope that the pandemic is over by that point, so I can get a bunch of people in a room.
Oh, maybe we can live stream that one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, well, that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleobites, I'm on drugs. Oh, I'm so high, man. You want to go get some Zaz? Some cheese Zaz?
Some Taco Bell, man?
Yeah, some Cheba Hut, man. All right.
Until next time, folks.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.